Hari Jaya Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Gari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivarada Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Andana Gurjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Ganatira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Om Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Parivedakacharya Sutara Sata Sisimati Sivangre Saisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrindaki, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki, Prem Sikohos Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindaki, Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyamakunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Ki, Ganga Mai Ki, Jamuna Mai Ki, Tulasi Devi Maharani Ki, Gaura Premanandi, All glories to assemble devotees, all glories to assemble devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, chapter 10, text number 5. Avataranu Charitam. Avataranu Charitam. Hareschashyanuvartinam Hareschashyanuvartinam Punsami sakata prokta Punsami sakata prokta Nanakyanopabrimhitaha Nanakyano Pabrimhitaha Abhatanura Charitam Harischasyanubhartinam Punsamisakataha Prokta Nanakyano Pabrimhitaha. Please chant. Avataram Charitam Areschasyanubhartinam Punsamisakata Prokta Nanakyano Pabrimhita Avataram Charitam Areschasyanubhartinam Punsam Isha Kata Prokta Nanakyano Pabrimhita Incarnation of Godhead. Anubar Anucharitam activities. Hari of the personality of Godhead. Cha also. Asya of his. Anubartinam followers. Punsam of the persons. Isakataha, the science of God. Proktaha, is said. Nana, various. Akyana, narrations. Upabrimhitaha, described. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Aktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The science of God describes the incarnations of the personality of Godhead and his different activities together with the activities of his great devotees. Please repeat after me. The science of God describes the incarnations of the personality of Godhead and his different activities. Together with the activities of his great devotees. Okay. And purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. During the course of the existence of the cosmic manifestation, the chronology of history is created, recording the activities of the living entities. People in general have a tendency to learn the history and narrations of different men and times. But due to a lack of knowledge in the science of Godhead, they are not apt to study the history of the incarnations of the personality of Godhead. It should always be remembered that the material creation is created for the salvation of the conditioned souls. The merciful Lord, out of his causeless mercy, descends to various planets in the material world and acts for the salvation of the conditioned souls. That makes the history and narrations worth reading. Srimad Bhagavatam offers such transcendental topics of the Lord in relationship with great devotees. Therefore, the topics of the devotees and the Lord are to be given respectful oral reception. Om Agyanate Mirandasya Yanandana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Taismai Sri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasavitala Shimate Vakididanta Swami Nityananda Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirkusasya Sundarava Paschatya Satarini. Okay, so this verse, the first, starts with the science of God. The science of God describes the incarnations of the personality of Godhead. So the science of God. So Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada is talking about, in the purport, about that this Krishna consciousness, as we are practicing, is actually a science. It's not a make-believe. It's not some concocted idea about, well, this is what the world is supposed to be, this is what reality is supposed to be. No, this is a science. So what is a science? Let's start here to determine a little bit the words. So let's understand, first of all, what is science? Okay. So the definition of a science, according to the dictionary, is any system of knowledge that is concerned with the physical world and its phenomenon, and that entails unbiased observations and systematic experimentation. A science involves a pursuit of knowledge covering general truths on the operations of fundamental laws. So there are laws of the universe by which the universe moves, generates, and so on. And now, this is science of God that we're studying in the Bhagavatam, is trying to uncover laws that are not apparent to the senses, but they are there. And that's what Srila Prabhupada has brought to us. This is the great boon that we have here, is that he has brought this science by which we can now understand certain phenomena which cannot be perceived by the senses, which is beyond the physical senses. In other words, through the Srimad Bhagavatam, we can understand the physical phenomena as well as not just that can be perceived by the senses, but that which can also be perceived by the mind, the intelligence, and the ego. So it's a little bit much more elaborate. So in order to be a science, a science has to have a scientific method. In other words, there is... Closer? Okay. So the science is based on the scientific method. The scientific method, this is what we is taught in the high schools and colleges. I've taught many of these classes when I was teaching. I taught for about 10 years in Hawaii in the high schools and the middle schools. We used to teach these 7th grade, 8th grade, and also when you go into high school, usually 9th grade, you also teach this, which is the scientific method. So the scientific method has three elements. There is a claim, okay, the statement about the results of the investigation. So there has to be, number one is the claim. Number two, there has to be evidence, scientific data to support the claim. And the data has to be sufficient, appropriate, qualitative. Okay, so we have claim, we have the evidence. And then number three is the reasoning. The reasoning is what ties together the claim and the evidence, the how and the why. All right. So now let's apply that to Krishna consciousness. Have a couple of examples for you here so that you can understand. Of course, the typical examples, you probably have done some of these practices or examples in your own high school when you used to do certain research that your teacher would say, well, let's see how much plants can grow with certain amount of light or certain amount of temperature. How does temperature affect the growth of plants? How light affects the growth of plants and so on. So, let's see what we can bring to the current scientific knowledge through Krishna consciousness. Well, number one, I can just tell you about a couple of examples. There have been several movies made about this. This is the current scientific theory that is going on, that is being taught to our children in the high schools and college. There are several movies about it. I just saw one recently produced by the BBC, read by Morgan Freeman, actually, very good narrator. I like his voice, nice, kind of soothing. And now, in this movie, basically following this scientific research, says that the moon was created when a planet named Theia, very large planet, hit planet Earth. And from the debris of this explosion, the moon came out of the explosion and then it starts circling around the Earth. And then when planet Theia hit the Earth, it tilted the Earth in such a way, 24 degrees, so that it would create the seasons, right? The reason why we have the seasons is because the Earth wobbles on its axis, and then we have summer, fall, winter, spring, and so on. So that's the claim. The evidence that they have is by studying the different stars, the different planets, and so on. We don't have any quarrel, at least the Vedas or the Vedic information or knowledge. We don't say, okay, if the scientists say that, that is their claim, we don't have any quarrel. I'm sure the people, the devotees from the Bhaktivedanta Institute will have something more elaborate to say than I can. I'm not really a scientist, I'm just a devotee and a bansuri wala, someone that plays the flute. So I don't know much, I just play the flute. So, but this is what I know by studying the flute. That we disagree with their explanation, because in all of these movies, in other words, remember that there are three elements to the scientific method, and the third one is the explanation. What is the explanation for your claim and your evidence? And they say, in all, and I've seen at least two movies, maybe three, on the same subject, and they claim the explanation is by magic. It was by magic that the planet Theia hit the Earth in that way to create that 24-degree angle, and that it was by magic that the moon came out of it and started circling around the Earth, and then because that happened, it slowed down the Earth to a point where life could be possible, because otherwise it would be too fast gyrating around the sun, and there wouldn't be enough time for plants to grow. There wouldn't be enough sunlight. There are different reasonings that the scientists give why the Earth needed to slow down in its movement around the sun. Well, okay, that's correct. But the explanation that we have in the Vedas doesn't correspond to the explanation or the reasoning of the material scientists, which is they say that it was just by luck, that it was by accident, that it was magic. There is no magic. There is no accident here. The real thing is that there was someone that engineered the fact that the moon needed to gyrate around the Earth in order for the moon to help with the generating of the growth of plants and, of course, and the fertility. So, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, text number 13, so 15:13, I enter into each planet, and by my energy, they stay in orbit. I become the moon, and thereby supply the juice of life to the vegetables. Okay, so that is the difference between, on that specific example of a scientific claim. They claimed that it was just by chance or it was by magic. And we said no, that there was a creator, that there was an engineer that put all of these elements together. And that's why we have the moon circling around the earth and generating the light that is necessary for the plants to grow and the fertility. There is, of course, and one more example, and I don't want to bother you too much with these samples, scientific samples, but there is a second one which caught my attention. I've been thinking about this for several years now since I saw the first video created by the scientists, which is that the theory, their claim is that the water in this planet comes from the outer edges of the universe. In other words, that the water, the oceans, the Ganges, the rivers, all the water that we have in this planet came from outer space, from very far away. And they claim that it came frozen, like frozen water, like ice cubes, on satellites, asteroids, meteorites. And these meteorites brought the water from very far away, from the outer edges of the universe. Doesn't that sound like the story of Vamanadev and Bali Maharaj and Vamanadev piercing the outer edges of the universe and the water of the causal ocean coming down from the outer edges of the universe towards planet Earth? Same story, same story. So now, if the water of the Ganges came in asteroids or celestial airplanes, okay, we don't have any quarrel with that claim or the evidence either. And also, the scientists claim that the water that was in these asteroids, meteorites, was a lot of it, and it was very, very heavy. And if it would have coming to Earth with that force from so far away, it would have destroyed planet Earth. And they claim that by chance, there was in the solar planetary system, we have a very large planet named Jupiter. Jupiter is the mass of Jupiter, the size, is 2.5 the size of all the other planets of the solar planetary system combined. That's how huge this planet is. Actually, Jupiter, you can see very easily on the night sky, if you go outside sometimes, it's very easy to recognize. It's the largest brilliant spot out there in the night sky. It's very bright, you can easily recognize it. About maybe 2 years ago, there was a combination or Saturn and Jupiter, they were very close to each other, and you could see them clearly in the night sky. When we were in Hawaii, of course, we could see that very, very clearly. So Jupiter took a lot of the brunt of these meteorites coming to Earth, and that's why the Earth wasn't crushed by the meteorites. Well, doesn't that sound like the Vedic story of Lord Shiva taking the brunt of the water coming down from the causal ocean? Now, it could be that Lord Shiva, in order to protect the earth, had to meet that water way out into the sky, because otherwise it would be a lot of water coming all the way. I mean, it's logical, so to speak, that Lord Shiva would have like a very large figure. In other words, that could take a figure. So, I mean, these great personalities, they can become very small like a mouse, or they can become very large like a planet. Like Hanuman, he could become a little monkey that went into the Ashoka Grove in order to meet Sita Devi. So, and then in another story of the Ramayana, Hanuman becomes a very large entity. So they can change form at will. also in the story of the Mahabharata, when Bhima encounters Hanuman, and Hanuman took the shape of this gigantic form, and Bhima couldn't even lift Hanuman's tail. So, Lord Shiva, the same way, he can change form at will, and he could have had a very large form to get the meteorites coming from outer space before they reached the Earth. Anyway, these are all maybe speculations, but the fact is that we are not too far away from the claims and evidence presented by the scientists, but we disagree on the explanation, because the scientists don't want to get to that point to say that now there is an engineer that engineered how the water was going to come to planet Earth. But for us, those who understand the science of God, they kind of understand that it was all engineered. It was all created, engineered by someone. Everything has a purpose. And if you think about it, it is much more, it's like when Prabhupada, someone gave him a flower to Srila Prabhupada, and he looked at the flower and said, oh, how beautiful. And the scientist says that there is no God. How dull. Have you ever been to the Ganges?
Yeah.
Have you been there, Mother Ganga? Ah, that's so beautiful, so beautiful. And you touch the Ganges water, and it, you put it in your hand, you put it in your head, and you are there with the Ganges, and you can see like the whole story of your life goes through. It's magic, real magic, not the magic that these guys are talking about. They don't understand what real magic is. That's real magic. It's so beautiful, and you can understand where this Ganges water comes from. This is from the causal ocean, comes from, has been touched for the, from the toes of, by the toes of Lord Vishnu. Very beautiful, very special. And so I don't want to go too far with this explanation, because I want to get into another one of the comments here that Prabhupada makes in the purport. But the other important thing is that, and this is my own take, coming from the Brahma Samhita, that Lord Brahma is the engineer of the universe. And he, for instance, when we talked about how the moon was created, well, who gave Lord Brahma the idea of creating the moon? Well, obviously it was from Krishna, when he played his flute, and when Brahma heard the sound of the flute enter his ear, then he created the moon. Well, how did that happen? Well, because Krishna played a raga called Chandrakaus, or Chandrakaus. Chandrakaus is the raga of the Lord of the Moon. And basically, when he played that raga, he's basically telling Lord Brahma, I want this feeling, I want this emotion, I want this rasa that I want to experience in the material world, in Vrindavan, when I come to this planet Earth, because I want to play this raga to attract the gopis and to attract Srimata Radharani. So you figure it out. You play with mud, big mud chunks like Earth planet and Moon planet, but I want you to create this scene for me, and this is how you, I want you to do it. So where does the knowledge come from? It comes from the feeling, from the emotion, the rasa that is expressed by the subtlety of the flute of Krishna. Ultimately, it's all music. Yeah, if you ever hear that raga Chandrakaus, I remember when we were in Vrindavan in 2011, and some devotees rented a couple of boats, and we went to the other side of Vrindavan during the full moon of Kartik. And we were out there in the middle of nowhere in the forest, and so one of the devotees asked me to play this raga Chandrakaus while the moon was rising, right there in the forest of Vrindavan. And it was like, wow, that was otherworldly. It was like, I was not in, literally speaking, it was like another world. It was very beautiful, very special. So, I don't want to talk too much about the scientific process, but just to give you an idea about what I said, because what I said sounds like very mythical, like, well, the knowledge of the creation of the universe comes from the flute of Krishna. How could that be? But remember that sound, according to quantum physics, everything is in vibration. In other words, that the concept of the theoretical concept of the atom is just what is called classical physics. And it says basically that if you divide any object into its smallest part, you'll get to the atom, the nucleus, the electrons, and so on. But now quantum physics is saying is that there is something even smaller than the atom, smaller than the electrons, and that everything is in vibration. So a lot of the new information that we have and gadgets from telephones and computers and so on is based on this concept of vibration, frequency, amplitude, oscillation. All of these concepts have been developed by Niels Bohr, Heisenberg, and others. Scientists of the 20th century. So sound is basically a vibration that creates waves with different frequencies and amplitudes that register in the night sky. So sound, vibrations that travel through the air or another medium and can be heard when it reaches another person or ear. A sound is a form of energy, just like electricity, heat, or light. In other words, when Krishna is playing on his flute, he's just giving codes, so to speak, codes to Lord Brahma on how the universe should be created. What is that needs to be created and how it should be created. It's all very precise, very precise. You know, the energy of the breath, which is what the sound of a flute is, comes from the breath of the person playing that instrument. It's a very, very subtle form of energy. It can be stronger, it can be softer, but there is a lot of control. If you want to control anything, the breath is a very subtle form of control. I remember many years ago when I used to play the music for the Mahabharata in New York City with Loka Mangala and Sankirtan. I was the musician that used to play the music on the stage, and I was always researching different instruments to play with the Mahabharata. And once I found the latest invention on synthesizers, which was a synthesizer flute, the Sony WX7. And I purchased this flute. In fact, we did some recordings with Dhiro Datta, who used to live here, plays the guitar, and moved to Arizona, Tucson, Arizona. Anyway, I had this flute that I could control with my breath. It was just a flute, but it was connected to a synthesizer, and I would be able to create perfectly the sound of an oboe or a violin or at an orchestra, whatever I wanted through the synthesizer and the breath control piece that I had, the mouthpiece, which was controlled by my breath. So very, very subtle. You know, the breath is a very subtle form of energy that that is the essence of the universe, basically, that, because it's the knowledge that Krishna is giving to Lord Brahma in order to create the universe. But anyway, let's get into the main part of the purport that Srila Prabhupada is talking about here, which is, it should always be remembered that the material creation is created for the salvation of the conditioned souls. It should always be remembered that this creation, this material creation, is created for the salvation of the conditioned souls. So, Srila Prabhupada is implying here in the purport that the conditioned souls, they need to be saved. Saved. Saved from what? Saved from the shadow. safe from the darkness. Remember the lessons on the nutshell verses? Ramapat Maharaj was giving a class here on the, I think it was the second verse of the four, where it says that this whole material creation is a reflection of the shadow. And he was saying that shadow is actually a metaphor for darkness. And darkness means, is actually a metaphor for our false ego, for our desire to enjoy separate from Krishna. To all the feelings, all the emotions, all the thoughts that you may have that are separate from the glorification of the Supreme Lord, separate from Krishna, that is what is called darkness. So that darkness comes to this material world not just as darkness or shadow, but mainly and most of the time comes as a reflection of the shadow. And I gave a class here myself a week later after that, which said that the reason why it's a reflection of a shadow is because this material world is like, not a film, but it's like a film, like a film. A film is a process by which people identify, the spectator identifies with the character on the film, and by the process of identification with the camera and identification with the character, then it becomes hypnotized in a state of consciousness where he becomes hypnotized by the film. So in the same way, we are becoming hypnotized by this material world, and we, because of two identifications, we identify with the pradhan, we identify with the material energy, and second, we identify with the characters in this pradhana, in this material energy. Same thing. So actually, this reality that we are living here right now today, it is not a film, but it's more like an interactive video game. Because as Pran Govinda was saying on Saturday, Prabhu, he was saying that we always have a choice. Either we can choose to be in the mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance. So that we are given a choice. So it is like an interactive game. Krishna is giving us this choice. Okay, you want to be in goodness or passion or ignorance. You want to act in this way or you want to act this way. And we have that choice to act from that point of view. So the fact is that we, as Prabhupada is saying here, is that the material creation is created for the salvation of the conditioned souls, because in the material creation that we live, we are attracted to this material creation because of these identifications, and ultimately because of sex desire, of course, because sex desire is actually the glue that keeps us in this material world. So, but we gotta understand, we have to go beyond this dream and understand that this material world, we need to be safe. Why? Because it's not a nice place. Because we are subject to three different kinds of miseries. The miseries created by the demigods, hurricanes, storms, earthquakes. The miseries created by other living entities, snakes, poisonous entities, other people. We may be living through a war situation. And then the misery is created by our own bodies. So these miseries are always there, are always taken away from our existence. Except that we don't want to accept it. We don't want to accept that we have to go through this process of life and death. That's, again, what is the story from the Mahabharata, where Dharma asked Yudhisthira, what is the most wonderful thing in this world? And Maharaj Yudhisthira said, although we see people dying all around us, we see our friends, our relatives, our enemies, we still think that death will not come to us. That is the most wonderful thing. So what does that mean? That people don't want to accept that they are going to die. They so-and-so passed, he passed, it won't happen to me. I'm not going to die. I'm going to live forever. Why people think that way? Why we think that way? Because we are hypnotized by the material world, by the material energy, because of our identifications with matter. That's why. It's because of our identifications. And these identifications, this hypnosis, comes always as a reflection. Always as a reflection, never as the shadow. Because if you would see the shadow, you say, oh, it's the shadow, I'll close the doors. But as a reflection, you always want to know, is this true? Is this a mirage? What is out there? Oh, it's Maya. Is Maya? Oh, must be very pretty. Is Maya wonderful? You want to know more about that thing that is coming as a reflection. Well, I'll give you a trick or an idea so that you can escape from that Maya, which I learned from a very, very great devotee that I met a few years ago in Los Angeles at the Ratha Yatra. His name was Bhakti Charu Swami. He was a very nice devotee, very paka. I mean, of all the devotees that I met in my life, he was really a paka devotee. He was such an amazing guru and devotee. And he said something that really struck me, and I've always remembered this. It's a very simple mantra. Because they asked him once, he was giving a lecture, and they said, Maharaj, you know, you're a sannyasin, and you have to deal with so many people, and how do you deal with the question when women approach you, or you have to deal with women or the female energy? And he said, in questions of sexual nature or the female energy, close the door gently. When that thought comes to you, close the door gently. So recently, Ramapad Maharaj was giving class, I think, at Sri Vrindavan, and I went to that program. And he was mentioning from the Brihan Nrisimha Purana that Prahlad Maharaj said, oh, my dear Lord, I am not afraid of your fearsome form, but I'm very much afraid of your illusory form. I am afraid of your illusory energy. What's the illusory energy? The reflection of the shadow from the second verse of the natural verses. That's what it is. The illusory energy of God is the reflection of the shadow. It always comes as a reflection. So after I heard that, I said, well, now I have to add one more word to that mantra. Close the door gently, quickly, quickly. Don't waste any time. You see the Maya coming? Close the door gently, but quickly. Don't wait. Don't have to wait. Oh, yeah, let me see. It's like during Janmashtami. The doors close and the curtains close very slowly, and the devotees, Hare Krishna, Hare Bol, and they are trying to see, and the pujari is closing the door very slowly, and you are trying to see what's on the other side of the curtain. You're still trying to see Krishna, and while the doors are closing very slowly. But that's Krishna. Now, that you can take your time. But if Maya is on the other side, no, you close the curtains right away. Right away. You don't waste your time. And Maya is very, very, very tricky. Don't play with Maya ever. In fact, that's the other thing that I learned actually from a class here. I don't know if it was either Pushkar who said it. I don't know exactly who said, but that Prabhupada said two things. One, he was praying at the Los Angeles Temple in front of Sri Radha Dwarkadish and Rukmini Dwarkadish. And Tamal Krishna Goswami asked him, Prabhupada, what were you praying about? He said, I'm praying to Krishna that he doesn't send me his Maya. Okay, that's Prabhupada. The thing is that you are always going to be approached by Maya, no matter what. It doesn't mean that you are a great advanced devotee. All great advanced devotees, they are approached by Maya. Lord Jesus Christ was tempted by the devil. Lord Buddha was tempted by Mara. Haridas Thakur was tempted by the prostitute sent by Ramachandra Khan. Everybody, if you dress the deities, if you perform devotional service, if you sit in this Vyasasana and you give class, if you are handling the computer system, if you dress as Srila Prabhupada, expect that Maya is going to come to see you. Because that is the nature of Maya. As it was, I think, discussed on Friday, that Maya is an agent of Krishna. Basically, it's like a policeman. He's trying to say, oh, you think you're so advanced, or you think that you are so devoted. So here, let me give you a little taste of Maya. Let me see how you react. And so also there is a very famous book called The Castles, The Inner Castle by Saint Teresa of Avila, was a Spanish nun, who wrote this book called The Castle, which are concentric castles where the devotee, as becomes more knowledgeable of the science of God, can enter into another castle. In other words, that there has to be test in order for you to enter to the next castle. So that's what it is. In our Vaishnava tradition, we say that there are different levels of developing love of God. Ashtashakti, Ruchi, Prema, Baba, and so on. So in order to get to the next level of love of Godhead, there is going to be different tests that will be put on your way in order to get to the next advanced level of love of Godhead. So expect that. Now, if you don't have any attack from Maya, if Maya is not coming to you, it means that you're not doing much. You're not doing anything. And sometimes that's good. That's good. Hey, you know, I went through this, I'm tired. I just want to be home, and I just want to chant a little Hare Krishna. I don't need to put myself out there and distribute books and deal with all these people that are out there. I don't have to go to the temple and do any service. I'll just be at home, and I'll close the door, and I'll just be by myself. Okay, well, all right, that's fine. You can do that. And then Maya is going to leave you alone, believe me. That's another kind of Maya anyway. But anyway, that's it's not... Why? Because in our movement, in Srila Prabhupada's movement, we come from the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and specifically also through the line of Nityananda Prabhu. In order to reach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you got to go through Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu was about telling others about Krishna. He was like that. So it is all about helping the spiritual master in order to bring this knowledge of Krishna consciousness to others. So expect that these attacks of Maya will come. And now I'll conclude here. It says, the merciful Lord, out of his causeless mercy, descends to various planets in the material world and acts for the salvation of the conditioned souls. So, the merciful Lord, out of his causeless mercy. So in order to be saved, in order to be saved, we are following a certain process, right? Abhideja. So the process that we follow here, sadhana bhakti, the basis of it is the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And the instruction is chanting 16 rounds of this Maha Mantra every day, 16 rounds of 108 beats, rosary. That is the penance for this day and age. Chanting, focusing on the name of God, The great boon that we have is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came 500 years ago and installed the deity of the holy name in our hearts. That's where the holy name is. It's in our heart. So if you chant with devotion, attention, and praying to Krishna sincerely, Krishna will reveal himself to us in that prayer. So I'll conclude. Therefore, the topics of the devotees and the Lord are to be given respectful oral reception. So we need to be very mindful, very attentive. Anything that, any information or anything that happens to us in connection with Krishna, any dreams we may have of the, about the spiritual master, any relationships we may develop with other devotees here in this temple, we have to be very respectful, which is what Prabhupada is saying here, and give oral reception, meaning listen. Listen with humility as to what other people are saying so that we may learn from that experience. Okay, so we'll conclude right here. If you have any questions, let's see.
Hare Bol, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. So you're taking on a serious topic, really, about proof of God and so forth. So the scientists are challenging their religions. They're saying that give proof of God. Show, if you can prove the existence of God, we give you a Nobel Prize. They say if you can prove how the universe came about, we give you a Nobel Prize. If you can prove how life came about, we give you a Nobel Prize. So they said to all the religionists that all whatever you're given is just mythology. You don't have any proof of anything. See, that's what they're claiming. So how would you refute that?
Okay, well, first of all, let's just start with a claim. The claim, everything that we claim here in the Krishna Consciousness Movement has, we can provide the evidence and the explanation. One claim is that all living entities, all conditioned souls, as the purport would say, have to go through birth, they grow up, they become children, youth, they grow older, and they die. And, okay, so that is a claim. We can easily prove that because everybody is going through that. You can look at photos of yourself when you were a baby, photos of yourself when you were a child, when you were, you are the same person, but you have grown through different bodies, you know, like the diorama that we have of the changing bodies. That's scientific. There is a claim that we go through these stages of life, and we have the evidence because we have billions of living entities that are going through that. So everything that we are talking about here, it can be put into a scientific concept like claim, evidence, and explanation. We do have a scientific knowledge to prove that. We can also prove that if you are in this material world, if you are born in this material world, you are going to suffer at some point in your life through these three material miseries that we discussed earlier. That we can provide the evidence and the claim and the evidence. So what Prabhupada is talking about here is actually science. The science, there is a claim, there is evidence, and there is an explanation for that evidence. Also, in the scientific method, when you do a test or an experiment, I mean, this is an experiment in a sense. If you want to take any of these concepts I just mentioned, we can do an experiment about it. You take yourself as an experiment, you can start with that. So there is always a variable and a non-variable element. In other words, that in order to prove that something is right or truthful, it has to be proven between a variable and a non-variable element. Let's say, if you want to say, well, I want to prove that plants grow because of the light of the sun or the light of the moon. Well, you can, the variable experiment would be, the variable element would be that you can grow plants with different amounts of moonlight and plants without moonlight. So the plants without moonlight is non-variable because there is never any moonlight. So you don't know how much is growing that plant. I mean, you'll know how much it grows because there is no moonlight, but it's not changing. That aspect is not changing. That's how scientific experiments are conducted. Basically, there is a variable, there is a non-variable. So you could take any of these principles that Prabhupada is bringing here, the same point. Okay, variable and non-variable. And you can conduct an experiment with any subject, any devotee, any person in this planet. Okay, is this person growing old or not? Like, it's very common these days to see movies about someone that doesn't grow old. Well, that can be a movie, but in reality, is there anybody that doesn't grow old? In other words, that there is, in order to be scientific about it, you gotta compile evidence. And the evidence, as we mentioned earlier, okay, so the evidence has to be sufficient, appropriate, and qualitative. Quality, there has to be quality of evidence. And that we can easily gather it. I mean, it's not, you know, we can prove these things that Prabhupada is talking about.
What experiment do you think you're for the
give the microphone again.
So, what kind of experiment can you conduct to show the existence of God? I mean, you know, simple thing, how you could...
Okay, very good. So, the experiment is, I can give you the explanation about this little thing called an iPhone. The explanation is that there is an engineer that put it together, had some claims, a claim that you could actually talk with someone at a long distance through certain electromagnetic waves. That was a claim. They conducted experiments, evidence, and we ended up with this phone. The explanation is that someone created it. Now, are you going to tell me now that the seasons come out of control? Does the sunrise come at a different hour every day? Or does it come at a specific time that has been already determined by someone? Is the sunset random happening, or does it come at a certain specific time which has been determined by an engineer? Yeah. How can you say that there is no reason behind sunrise and sunset when it's so mathematical, when it's so precise? I mean, you can know the time of the day simply by looking at the sun and the reflection of the sun on a shadow on a stick.
They're claiming that all the orders that's within the universe can be explained scientifically.
By chance.
And without a supreme controller. They're claiming that.
By chance, there is no chance.
So we have to be able to refute that.
Wait a second. They're trying to put us on the spot. We want to put them on the spot. They say, you cannot even create a mosquito. If you cannot create a cell or a mosquito, what are you talking about? How can you create a cell? How can you create anything?
They can't create life.
Unless there is design. Unless there is a design. If there is no design, how could you create anything?
Prabhuji, thanks for the wonderful lecture. I couldn't help but notice how astonishingly close it is to our calendar for today. It says, we say that if Krishna is truth, the world is also truth because the world is a manifestation of Krishna's energy. So if Krishna is true, how is his energy can be false? The Mayavadis preach so-called monism, but they also distinguish Brahma and Maya. They say Brahma is true, Maya is false. we say Maya is true, and because it is Krishna's energy, she must be employed in Krishna's service. So it's basically talking about the same thing you gave your lecture on.
Thank you, Prabhupada.
The topic of death. I think most people know death is going to happen, but they think they have a long time. Something I think about the Native Americans, they have the same. It's a good day to die. So actually, devotees, we take that to heart. We think, actually, if I surrender today completely to Krishna, it's a good day to die. Let me completely give myself today, because we only have today. We can surrender. So,
yeah, you never know when it's going to come. You never know when death is going to come. It can come at any time. That's right.
It's good to meditate on death. Could come, any day.
But we still think, well, that is Maya's trick. Maya's trick is going to tell you, Prabhu, you don't need to surrender today. You don't need to go to the temple. You don't need to chant your rounds. You have time. You have time. You can chant your rounds tomorrow or the next day. Don't worry. It's a beautiful day. You can just go and bask in the sun. You can just enjoy yourself. Go to the bar. Have a drink. Why are you so uptight? You have time. Lots of time. How old are you? 40 years old? Oh, my God, 40. You have time. 40, you have until 90, you have 50 years to go, 95. But you never know. You can be 40 or you can be like that, our Keshava Prabhu, who passed at the age of 18. That really broke my heart. But the fact is that it can happen anytime. Very powerful young man, 18 years old, with a big motorcycle. And then he was gone. And I've seen it so many times. Many times in my life. You're here today and gone tomorrow. Anybody can be gone. So, even if you live until you are 100, well, what, 95. I had a friend just passed, was 98. It doesn't matter. This is the most wonderful thing in this planet. We think death will never come to us. A question?
I was thinking that one of the biggest differences, it seems, between Krishna consciousness and science is the idea of personalism. And they talk about energy, but, Prabhupada once was on a walk, Vishakha Mataji, she was with him, and what you were saying about the moon, how the moon, it nourishes vegetables, it gives them the strength. So Vishakha asked Prabhupada, How does the moon do this? And Prabhupada said to her, you have to ask him. He just left it at that. Even like the earth, the earth is a person, so as she becomes exploited and ravaged really, then she pulls back. She doesn't give so much. She doesn't give so much produce and like that. So it's such an amazing understanding that, behind the sun, is Surya, the person. Behind the moon is Chandra, that Bhumi is a person. It just makes so much sense. And the way the scientists explain it, it's so dull. Like, you mentioned that word today. It's so dull.
Yes. Anybody else? Any other comments?
On the topic of Maya, one of my favorite quotes that I've read recently is by His Holiness Radharani Swami. He said, if you leave any cracks in your devotional service, Maya's like water, it'll just find the cracks and flow into it. And on the topic of scientists questioning the existence of God, one of the favorite things to say is, In all living beings, the protein, the bioproteins are all left-handed stereo isomers. Every organic molecule has a right-handed and a left-handed mirror image form. So in all the living entities, the protein biomolecules are left-handed. In the field of statistics, the probability of that happening is zero.
There is no chance. What you're saying, there is no chance that could happen. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Prabhu. Thank you for coming to class and the program. Hare Krishna.